and the total energy facility. Both of those are fully reflected in our budget request.
Would the debt service for the MEG structure end up in your budget on fiscal 80? Would that start then? When would that start?
That would likely be a general obligation bond, which would not be reflected in our budget.
On the same thing, I see here, I don't know what page is it, but Form 5. And it says here, the Chancellor's distribution for debt service, total energy, and ABE, what is that? It's a...
ABE...
I know what ABE is, but I just wonder what...
Yeah, as it's shown in there, it relates to a facility which the university purchased a little over a year ago off campus.
Is that the one in Northern Lights?
Yes, it's on Northern Lights Boulevard. It's the one the ABE program has been in for a number of years. And the lease ran out and the purchase option was exercised. And there is a $17,000 per year payment on that, which is included in debt service. If I stand corrected, there are three items in the debt service, including that.
Can you buy it out of bond funds?
Big pardon?
Buy the building out of bond funds?
No, sir. Funds to purchase the building, as far as I know, came from plant funds within the university structure.
The ABE program, though, is now under the community college, or is it in UAA?
Community college.
Community college, but the building is the UAA.
The budget for the support and for the debt service on the building is included in UAA.
This is a general question. How did the regions allocate, or I realize there's these lists of priorities that went up, but how did they determine which campuses got the difference between the governor's figure and the 77.4? Was the difference in odds? Was it based on credit hours or half students or what? What was it? How was it allocated? Was there any approach to it?
This, Mr. Chairman, if I may, I'll respond. This harkens back to the other day when we were talking about each chancellor submitting priority listing that built them up from the 70.8 to the 77.4. The allocation of those funds was in terms of their priority listing, as it fitted a way of putting it as a proportionate share leading up to the 77.4. The statistic that you're talking about, to relate the statistic to the dollars, the statistic came after the budget. So there was not the direct relationship. It's a thing that in the future we'll have the basic statistical information in which to cross-check and be as a part of the planning process that we were discussing the other day.
Well, how, I was just curious, was it just kind of, was it decided at the Board of Regents, or were the regents presented, how did it work?
From the time that the priority listings were worked up for each individual VRU, there was then a meeting of what was called a President's Council, at which time former President Humphrey sat in with the chancellors and reviewed their priority listings in terms of the way they had arranged them. And you had that kind of discussion relating to each individual budget. And then on that basis, the final information was amassed and brought before the board on December 2nd for adoption.
So question of the president's council of knocking off certain priorities that each region had, and then the, by and large, the regions approved the priority list as, say, deleted, items deleted as the president's council determined.
Stated another way, it would be a function of each chancellor presenting their own priority listings as worked out in their various campuses, bringing them in, then the president's council discussing it, accepting that, and then presenting the whole package or the budget by BRU to the board.
But were the chancellors told to stay within a certain figure or adhere to any formula to come up with their priority list?
The chancellors had to deal with a figure, yes, sir, to remain within the, from the 70.8 up to the 77.4.
Okay, but how, but that assumes the figure was picked before the list came along. Okay.
It was, Mr. Chairman. I think the question is, how was that figure picked?
Yeah, but...
Before the list?
Yes.
I don't believe that's... I recall the process, or...
Go ahead.
You know, the total number of requests certainly exceeded the $77.4 million request. The prioritization, I thought, occurred mostly within President's Council. I don't remember being given, say, from my view, I used a specific figure to adhere to for each of those.
Are you speaking back to September, Captain?
No, Dave, I wasn't in there in September.
Well, September is when the initial prioritization was made, last September. If I recall correctly.
When's last November, Mrs. Scott?
That was when the final prioritization was
made. I don't recall the date of the President's Council meeting, but the board met on November 22nd to review the budget, and it would be probably a couple of weeks prior to that that the President's Council met and reviewed and determined what level of request for each BIU would be included.
So the list of 75 items you mentioned yesterday was the original wish list,
right.
And each chancellor was submitted a wish list, and the president's council reduced that as they saw fit, but there wasn't any set formula by which they reduced them.
I think the best way to answer that question is in the President's Council looking at the priority listing. It was a combination of a number of factors that, using yesterday's example of the 22 out of some 75 as a cutoff point, was a function of the previous year's budget amount for that particular BRU, coupled with need, impact, a number of factors that ultimately settled on their given amount of money per BRU leading up to the total of 77.4.
Mr. Chairman, there were also a couple of givens within that structure. For instance, funding of the community college contract, which we're obligated to in the previous year, subject to legislative funding, takes up 1.5 million approximately of that 77 million dollar request, so that was given some priority because it was a contractual obligation.
Mr. Chairman, last year, if you recall, it was brought to the attention of this committee and essentially the legislature that a council of, known as President's Council, made decisions, and I think you're beginning to see some implications of that. And it's brought to your attention that there are no records of those meetings, and one of the things that we as students have a hard time doing and trying to find out who made what decisions affecting what campuses and, you know, what was the basis of these kinds of decisions is still, as far as I know, there are still no records of those meetings with the President of Council, which is really the final step before the budget request of the university goes to the region. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I still do not think there's any step of those meetings. Any records at all since the development of that council when Dr. Wood was president?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, that's incorrect. Minutes were kept for some of those meetings because I personally kept them. And I think I have records for six of the meetings. And those were at the time of Dr. Hyatt and Dr. Ferguson. I think when Dr. Humphrey came in, there were no more minutes taken. The President's Council is not a decision-making group. It is advisory to the President, and the President always makes the final decision. And that's the way it works.
Mr. Scott?
Is it clear that this total priority list never reached the Board of Regents, that they only saw the list presented from the President's office for this budget? For example, the megastructure, was it ever brought up to the Regents' attention, or was it dropped down at the President's level?
In the megastructure situation, that was not brought before the Regents until very recent time when it again loomed forth. Subsequent to the President's Council meeting, that's
that
correct.
That would be true of any other item that wasn't on the list that's finally adopted, that's in this budget at this time, then only those items were brought to the Regents?
Only those items that would relate to making up the 77.4, Dave, would have been brought in, that is correct.
Yeah.
Mr. Green.
There are certain bills that suggest that one alternate method of arriving at the budget that we see is to submit it directly to the Board of Regents. And then the Regents would then submit to the legislature the submissions of the various chancellors plus whatever their budget was. Doesn't that seem to maybe meet some of the objections that might be to the other process and give the legislature a chance to see a little bit more of what went into the budget process? You see any problems with that?
I think essentially, I don't announce this as a problem, but I'll give you this kind of a reaction. It comes down to the rather classic problem of a board being a policy-making body and the administration doing the administering. In this particular instance in here of the budget, the priority listings and so forth, this was viewed as an administrative responsibility with appropriate backup to be presented to the board for understanding purposes. If I understand what you're saying, sir, the budget, if I could take one example of Anchorage, there would have been a total submittal of 75 priority items directly to the board, at which time they would have reviewed that and appropriately arrived at some form of decision as to what the budgeted amount would have been.
Policymakers, if they chose to be that, they might want to know about the megastructure, for example. I think that was the point.
I think I'd have to respond to that and say, as a matter of information, it would have been most appropriate had that been brought up in the very beginning in discussing the total priority listing, yes, sir. I would view that as directly as an administrative responsibility to make the board aware that in the prioritization process there would appear one or more items that could offer some difficulty. When that doesn't happen, we run into the kind of problem that we have now.
Well, my point was you avoid that if the budgets go directly to the board.
Mr. Scott.
I'm not sure I have any problem with the President's office administering the policy of the board and reviewing those priority lists. However, Dr. Brewer, can you identify for us what the budget policy of the board was when you made that review?
I think per se, in terms of there being one, Mr. Scott, I think you're aware of what kind of a policy they do or do not have in this regard, which again I would say is an administrative responsibility to advance policy needs where needed for board consideration.
Were there any such policies advanced to the board for decision making before the budget was reviewed by the administration?
There were some policy matters that have been passed, but not full blown of the sort that I think we're discussing here.
Could you identify those for the committee?
It'd have to be purely, I was getting some help here for memory purposes. There was an agreement on the salary increase, and there was an agreement on the inflation factor. But of the sort that you're speaking about, that has not been advanced in terms of dealing with priority listings and how these would be treated and so forth, no.
Further questions, Mr. Green? We're going to go next to the college administration. Mr. Duncan has a pre-conference committee he has to attend to, and he like wanted to be here when we go through the next one, so we'll skip that one and come back. I don't want to make that much difference.
You're skipping the rest of my agenda right now.
What do you think? Too many people asking questions at the same time.
Fine with me. Is the committee to meet tomorrow? I guess so.
I would. It would be my guess that the chairman intends to meet on this one until we get through it.
We just did. My free conference may last for 5 minutes.
Well, I suspect we better not adjourn the meeting until.
Well, no, I was suggesting those, so these fellows wouldn't have to wait around. Perhaps we just move them until tomorrow.
I'm sure the chairman intends to go tomorrow.
Let's do that. Then anybody that's here just for Juno, let's let you off the hook. I'll take responsibility for it.
We will not be needed this
until tomorrow.
So tomorrow,
at
what time?
I would imagine, and I'm just guessing, but I would imagine it would be 1:15 tomorrow that we'll be back on the university budget. Now, that's a guess on my part, but I doubt that at all.
Scott, if you would notify us, we
sure
would appreciate it.
Community colleges?
Let's start with the community college administration, if you will, please.
We can put them alcoholics in here by the time we can put that in.
Huh?
Well, we're not going to get into that a little bit for everybody.
It's my key actor. It's my understanding, Mr. Scott tells me this is a new division just established this year.
That's correct.
Why don't you give us a little background rundown before we get into the figures?
By action of the Board of Regents last June 28th, I believe. Let me back up even before that. Prior year submissions came in on a geographic basis for the most part. University of Alaska Anchorage would have included Anchorage Community College, Mat-Su Community College, University of Alaska Anchorage. University of Alaska Southeast included 3 southeastern community colleges, as well as the University of Alaska Juneau. Fairbanks included Tamna Valley. And then there was the segment known as rural education, which included 4 community colleges and 12 regional learning centers. 4 community colleges in that division were Kodiak, Kuskokwim, Kenai, and Northwest. On June 28th last year, the board voted to do some reorganization within the system to create the Division of Community Colleges, Extension, and Rural Education, which in effect took all 10 of the community colleges around the state and placed them in one division, along with Rural Education Affairs, which consists of 12 regional learning centers, the Alaska Native Language Center, and some other special programs, and the Cooperative Extension Service. So this division now encompasses those programs within the university that were spread throughout various geographic regions under the past format. Currently, the division consists of myself on 8 months and a secretary on 8 months. That's all the division staff at the present time. Jumping from that, I'll go into community college administration unless there are
I was writing that 10 community colleges, 12 learning centers. What was what were the other
ones? The 12 learning centers, which are basically classified as REA, Cooperative Extension Service.
How many are those?
That is a statewide public service program. Number of home economists around the state, some agricultural stations, some fisheries extension agents at various locations around the state. They don't have centers per se. Under REA is also the Alaska Native Language Center, the correspondence program, statewide correspondence program, the Village Art Upgrade Program. Those are special programs that are included there.
But Mr. Chairman, what that would mean, correspondence program, what does, which one is that?
That is the
that's not the correspondence study program.
Yeah, correspondence study program.
That is in the college level?
Yes, college level correspondence. That program had previously been operated under the Public Service Division of the University of Alaska Fairbanks.
How many of those extension centers did you say?
There are 12.
Okay. 12 learning centers and 12?
Oh, learning centers and extension centers are synonymous.
Oh, okay. Okay. And then how many more, what was the other figure you mentioned?
10 community colleges, 12 extension centers, and then I just grouped the other program areas, Cooperative Extension, Alaska Native Language Center, Village Yard Upgrade.
Okay.
And those programs.
Okay, thank you.
What we did in developing the, although it's listed community college administration, this is really the administration of the entire division, which would consist of community colleges, extension, and rural education affairs. What we did in preparing this particular budget was identify within the current REA budget all of those items that would be considered institutional support or general administration for that unit. If you want to refer to forms 4 and 5 of the thick book.
Excuse me, do you have those revisions that you showed me? Do you have copies for the committee?
I do not have copies for the committee on that. Would that be useful? I have one copy here. Barbara has a copy, I believe, and you have one, Dave.
Where are you?
Under the tab Community College Administration, the first Form 4 in the thick book, and I suppose we can follow along.
And where do I find Form 4?
That would be the first one.
The very first page under that tab, handwritten. That,
oh, it doesn't.
Where do I must be the Form 4?
No.
Apparently not live there.
I think what we're trying to move toward for those college units that are able to provide their own support services, getting those out to the community colleges wherever possible. This division would also provide direct support services, purchasing, personnel functions, all accounting services for the 12 regional learning centers. They would be treated as a single unit and have direct processing services through the administrative services here.
What are you calling your 12 regional learning centers? Now, what are those?
Okay,
are
these
colleges?
Are smaller sites where coursework for the University of Alaska is carried out. They exist in places like Sand Point, Tok, Galena, Barrow, Kotzebue, a variety of other places. I don't know if you want the whole
system. Is that connection with the program that's going on in the schools?
I'm not sure what program you're referring to, but I would think not.
Instituted a couple of years ago, and when
going to the University of Boston, if I remember, and people were appointed and they teach any kind of a program in the school, in the community, anything from sewing to weaving to, is that the program we're talking about?
This would be dealing with adults, not in the schools per se.
Use the school buildings.
Certainly we do, or community hall facilities, or wherever we can get space.
Yeah, I know what it is.
Basically, we have transferred from what was formerly called REA approximately $300,000 in administrative support services, and the request level here seeks approximately another $300,000. Let me identify some items that show up in here. Formerly, relocation and recruitment expenses were paid out of what you heard yesterday called staff benefit fallout, and that was paid statewide. There has been an attempt made this year to redistribute those funds back to the major administrative units, and this was done by basically calculating the number of people and potential turnover in each of the units. As a result of that, approximately $82,000 accrues to the Division of Community Colleges Extension and Rural Education, so that is in effect a transfer from statewide administration. It might be easier to flip to Form 5 at this point, and we can follow things from the last three conference committee forward if that would be useful for you. I'm not sure how much detail you want, or...
Isn't this a document that's changed that we're waiting to get copied?
Yeah, would you prefer to go from the other one?
It might be easier to get the revised one that's being copied right now.
Okay.
Well, what I'd like to do, Pat, is to maybe, I don't know what you've done so far because I had to go out and
get
the bill, but if you haven't done it already, I'd like to get your general approach to this budget. If you've covered it already, just say so, because then I can get it from you privately. But I'd like to get your general approach on the budget for community colleges and extension centers, and also like to ask what the extent of involvement of the whatever they call the presence of those institutions was.
I don't think what you have in front of you, when I'm going to talk about the community college budget now, I'm talking about the entire one, including 15 VRUs, is an ideal document. Where I think it is particularly lacking in terms of the philosophical direction that I would like to go with the community colleges is in the institutional support necessary at each particular college level. Registrar functions, business manager functions, financial control functions, and those types of things. There are some increased workload requests from some of the units that did make it into the document. There were generally requests from all of the units. However, this division was just kicking off at that time. The former President Humphrey was new, and I think many of those requests did not make it into the final document. In terms of the community college administration portion of it, philosophically, I think it wants to be able to provide services for those units that can't provide them themselves, the 12 extension centers being the primary ones, direct services for those. Some of the small community colleges, perhaps Sitka and Northwest, that they could process directly through there if they chose to. In terms of the larger units, the preference would be to provide a monitoring, auditing, and training function so that most of the staff in here would be traveling relatively frequently to those sites, assisting them in setting up their financial records and maintaining them. Ideally, we would like to be on a quarterly spot audit basis to detect any problems with those units, but beyond that would be our form of control. Beyond that, they would be operating it as best they could. I think that's the general approach. In terms of the construction of the budgets, each community college president did submit their budgets and what are called increased workload packages or new program requests. the priorities that they listed for those were generally followed throughout to the extent possible within the request levels. I don't believe, given the time frame, that there was much involvement beyond the administrative staff of each community college back down to the faculty. It's only about a week to 10 days that they had to prepare and get it in.
Okay.
Enough on that. Maybe while we're waiting for those other forms to be run, we can skip to community college contract funding and then flip back to the administration budget and
sure.
Work through that stuff.
Can I point out, Mr. Chairman, while he's doing that, I did pass out an attachment yesterday showing the three columns on the contract, the original request by the university, the current request, and the union's identification. So that should be somewhere in your file materials.
I'll try to highlight where I think those differences lie. I have compared both versions of the contract funding. You'll flip to the second tab there that refers, well, it's the second one under my division, but the next one right after Community College Administration, and then perhaps flip to the Form 5. Currently existing is $188,600 broken down, as you see there, professional developmental leave, continuing education, and the like. As you recall, this all stems back to, I guess, the final settlement of this contract occurred March 1977. A special appropriations bill was brought before you last year for funding. I believe you funded the salaries portion and the COLA provisions and rejected all of the other provisions in that contract. It was generally agreed that the university had signed a contract with the ACCFT and thus should seek funding for the contract. So what is probably before you today is much of the same information that came before you in that special appropriations bill that you did not fund last year, plus one specific item. At the time of the arbitration last March, or at the time of the final settlement, one item had to go to arbitration, and that was the payment of COLA, either as a bonus or as a built into the salary scale. Attached to that was a rider for reopening the negotiations on salary if the union lost in that arbitration. Union lost in that arbitration, I suppose we lost in the long run, because we had to open up negotiations, limited negotiations for salary only, beginning January 4th for a 7-day period, at which time it again went to arbitration. The arbitrator awarded a 7.9% base salary increase, which would be a new figure reflected in here that wasn't in that special appropriations bill last year. Places where our version differ from the union contract, I believe the union position points out that the step increases for community college faculty members are in here. They were in the earlier version that went forward on December 2nd. They are not in here now. They have been built back into the current services column for each of the various campuses. Another item that they object to that we are showing in here are COLA provisions, approximately 3%. I believe their version also shows capital construction for the development of faculty offices on various campuses. We put that portion of it in the capital budget, so that would be another difference that occurs. We do have some minor differences on our other figures, with perhaps a major difference on the 7.9% salary increase, and I think that's basically as a result of the particular base that we were using. I obtained a base directly from accounting services in terms of the bargaining unit members that we currently have on board this year. They used an average salary across the board for the number of faculty members that they have.
Yeah, if I'm understanding your budget correctly, the cost of living escalator, that's the bonus, the cost of living bonus. Wasn't that funded last May in the supplement? Wasn't that one of the two items that were funded?
Right.
Why then did you put it in the request column rather than in the maintenance budget for 79?
I believe the reading of that was it was your funding was for only 1 year, and so it would be new funding to carry forward.
Well, it's a continuing program, however, it was approved by the legislature last year.
Usher?
It is almost like, Mr. Chairman, that you receive every year a recommendation from the governor's office as to what the cost of living adjustment should be for non-bargaining unit members. And that's not built in our budget. It will be coming as a separate request from the governor's office.
I believe, Mr. Chairman, however, that our bargaining units, the governor does include the cost of living increases in his maintenance budget. Is that correct, Barbara?
If that was to be the case, then you would want to remove 316.1 and place it in the maintenance column rather than the new program request.
So now, just by way of bringing people up to scratch, that contract was not considered at all in the committee system. There was a floor amendment which went down once, and then they changed their minds and voted it. I say they because I voted against it. But it was adopted on the floor in the form of a floor amendment. I don't know if the contract can be said to have been addressed at all.
Okay.
Certainly, you can't say that it was rejected because I think.
Certainly not in the second session of the legislature.
So, I think it's still before it.
Prompt me. What contract? Prompt me on what?
It was a new community college union contract that was brought in.
I think you received it sometime in mid-May.
Yeah, the middle of May, right when the three conferences was closing up. My recollection is that the university
salaries
sat on it.
Is that the last, one of the last things that came in?
Yeah.
Was not funded.
Well, it was funded by a way of floor amendment to the FY 78 budget.
I think, Mr. Chairman, there was about 15 items for funding within that contract funding request, and only two of them were funded on the floor, and that was the salary and the COLA. The rest of the items, most of which appear in this document, were not funded in that floor amendment.
It included...
Profit payments?
Yeah,
it probably was, yeah, I'm not sure.
It was not a supplemental or a special?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and it included the whole contract included things like it was supposed to build a whole new building and all of that kind of stuff.
Basically the same items appear in this list.
Yeah.
I should highlight one other major difference between the union version and ours, and that is the fact that we are seeking funding of the contract only beginning with July 1, 1978. I believe they are also seeking that those provisions be retroactive to last July 1, when the contract came into effect. I think each of the items under the contract is detailed under the form 6's analysis of change. I guess I would just hold to answer any questions on those.
Can you explain the need for $15,800 under the late checks provision of the contract?
Yes. Unfortunately,
it's item 8.6E.
Thank you, Dave. You're probably more thoroughly familiar with this than I am.
No, I blocked it out.
8.6E. Okay, as part of this agreement, it was agreed that the university will establish biweekly paydays. It has that. If a correct paycheck is not available on the campus on payday, the university will, one, pay a $20 per day late fee for each bargaining unit member affected until the correct monetary check is available. So if a check was 7 days late, that would be a $140 penalty that the university would pay to the bargaining unit member over and above his base salary.
According to this request, the university administration assumes that they're going to have to pay $15,000 in those late fees.
Well, we're going to pay for a lot of mistakes before we're through with it. Just to get the damn things off the book and get started fresh.
Right.
Right.
tonight. It assumes, as it says, one check per bargaining unit member and average of 3 days. Over the course of an entire year.
I thought that each local or campus was allowed to write a correct check if a wrong check came down in some form. Get my hands paid at that point. Why would you then need this $15,000 a year? You wouldn't have any correct checks if you gave a hand paid correct every day if the check arrived in some form. That was my understanding last year, is that the local personnel office had the authority to write a hand check. The correct amount, an incorrect check arrived from the central office.
That was basically the procedure, Dave. Yeah.
Are you changing that procedure?
It is being, hand pays can still function that same way. However, we're trying to centralize it.
Why would you need this $15,000 if you get the correct hand pay?
There are some difficulties in terms of just receiving checks that you might not be aware of in time to cut checks out there, Dave. That would be one potential way of covering it. I don't think it would cover every particular case, though.
There was the university either agreed to or was forced on them or through arbitration. My recollection was that there were some instances. Maybe they were in Bethel, I don't know, where it was just physically impossible to get the checks there. So you just had to pay the penalties anyhow. I chalked that up to the university's stupidity in writing. They were the people who preceded you. But, is that still a case where you just can't get the checks out there?
My understanding that it's much improved. Instances still arise. The university has not paid this past year any of the penalties in the contract, primarily on the basis that there was no money available to pay those penalties. But cases have arisen. I believe there are two grievances currently in process on this particular item. Sometimes it occurs with new employees in terms of just getting them processed through the payroll system. In which case you would not be able to cut a hand pay initially.
Why not? Because aren't they processed first at the local campus?
Right, but it may or may not be in the Fairbanks payroll office, which would clear the hand pay for the local campus.
Oh, the central office has to clear the hand pay?
Yes.
Today.
Didn't address the, I guess I would consider the significant difference in the estimate by the union and the university on the cost of the labor management committees. Can you address that one?
Yes, I checked the union submission on that.
You're about twice as high as they are, the estimated cost. Isn't that the committee that's basically set up to resolve problems before they become grievances? Have communication between the two parties?
The labor management actually consists of a number of committees. It consists of the overall labor management committee, and then there are subcommittees, which this section also funds. And the subcommittees would be salary placement, budget review. There are two others, I forget what they are right off the top of my head. The union based their figures on two new committees, which were in this new agreement that weren't in the previous agreement, at one meeting per month for four members. This took the entire group, subtracted out what's currently available, and came up with that figure. Figures that I have currently available for labor management are 9,000. It's been difficult to trace some of the prior funding, actually the prior contract to this, through the entire system.
Will the labor management committee function if we only get the amount that the union is asking for?
some of the committees would function, not all.
I'm asking, Mr. Chairman, because...
Two committees plus $9,000 worth, whatever that would buy, Dave. Would buy about 2.75 committees.
I'm asking because the function of the Labor Management Committee was probably the only item that was endorsed by the federal mediator who worked on this contract as of utmost importance in establishing a communication device between the union and the university administration. I felt this was probably the most important item in the whole contract. I think the university...
Dave, when you say the Labor Management Committee, do you mean the single committee or their subcommittees as well?
The whole process. I think the problem that's existing, as I understand from the union, is that the Labor Management Committee is not functioning. And one of the reasons it's not functioning is because the university is a lack of funds.
Well, now, I thought we addressed that the other day. This is something different.
Yes, sir.
Well, I thought we had something statewide administration to address things like grievances. We got something else.
I believe you have general litigation expenses in statewide administration.
I think he's talking about Mr. Westman's office. Now, that's the administrative organization that handles the grievances already arrived. What the Labor Management Committee was to do was meet on a periodic basis and resolve problems before they got into the mechanism of the contract. To maintain communications and take all the heat out of our various groups. That kind of the situation. If it's not working because of a lack of funding, the university's put the funding in the request column rather than taking the maintenance side as a priority. That's the concern I'm trying to bring to.
Further questions on the BRU Community College contract funding?
I think not. Are there further questions? All right.
I believe that handout is here now, so we could flip back to Community College Administration if you wish.
Okay.
This identifies.
Excuse me.
Never mind. No, I was just looking at Form 6, and it says some very small item like a typewriter. And it says you are ordering 26 typewriters, and you designate where they're all going except one, which is blank, which is the number 26. Where is it going?
Fair. Are you at the back of the contract?
Yeah.
You use that for spare parts.
I just wondered. I was curious where it's
going. You get a deal. 26 will cost 25.
Analysis
6.
It's hard to say.
If you buy 25, you get one free one. You can give it to anybody.
It's not numbered.
I have a question before we get into this. So, for the last 2 years, the legislature has appropriated a fairly small amount of money to fund some extension courses that are being taught in Eagle River. Now, next thing we know, Jim Moranti's out there with a secretary. Well, what the hell goes on there? I thought we were funding the teaching, and here we got the guy in an office. Well, what goes there?
I can pick it up now, or it's under Matt Sue. I can pick it up under there when we get to that particular one. Total $75,000, if I recall, was funded to Eagle River last year.
Yeah.
$40,000 of it, which was transferred by the legislature from Anchorage Public Service.
Yeah.
And Jim Irani was placed out there to pull that program together. I was unaware of any legislative intent strictly restricting that to.
Here's what we're getting at. In other words, we thought with that $75,000, essentially what that would do would be to fund the way it was presented to us anyway, that certain courses were going to be taught out there, and this was the expense that would be necessary in order to have it going. Now it looks like in order to do that, we would pay Irani and pay Irani's secretary, and then we'll pay the teachers on top of that. What is, can't that be done out of Anchorage?
It could be done out of Anchorage, but I think you would still be paying the same, not necessarily the same individual, but an individual to go out there and pull that program together.
Maybe it's a question of semantics, but the $40,000 that the legislature identified in legislative intent last year was not to be transferred to Eagle River. It was the identification of current services of Eagle River. In addition, the legislature added $35,000 to that program. So it's a $75,000 instructional program. The director, Mr. Arani, and the secretary were placed out there, I'm not sure whose direction. However, his salary had been in the ACC budget at the time that he was moved out to Eagle River. I understand that his salary is now being paid out of the Eagle River budget, and the funds for his office in the ACC budget are now being used for some improvements. The funds are not transferred yet.
That's basically true. I'm unaware of the current services status of Eagle River. I thought this year was its first year of operation in any form at all.
No.
Irani's placement out there was a settlement of an internal grievance that occurred at Anchorage Community College. So that's why that particular individual. Mr. Irani has also maintained that his salary should have been transferred out there to cover that. There was nothing so denoting that I could find either in legislative intent or in the settlement of that grievance. In fact, the matter remains that Anchorage Community College still had his former function to fulfill. Now, that position has been vacant. They have been recruiting for that position.
It looks like someone delivered unto Mr. Irani a sideways kick. And the point was that, what we wanted is instructional. We wanted classes and stuff to be taught out there. And then Jim Irani and his secretary, whatever they're doing, I don't guess
they're
teaching classes.
What
is he?
I wonder sometimes, too. He's responsible for overall organizing the program out there. If I was to quote his words, he is working like a dog in the wilderness, emptying trash baskets, organizing courses, finding instructors, and doing everything out here, collecting fees and the rest of it, that whole operation.
Well, that's what usually happens to people at university size. They don't war around anymore. They go sideways. None of them ever go out. Well, that's not true. Some of them are. That was just one small point. Why don't we go back to you?
Flip back then to the community college administration budget. The handout that you received basically allows you to follow what we're requesting in new funds for each position and what was transferred from the old REA structure. Beginning on the first page, $40,400, which would be the balance of the 12-month funding for my office. It was budgeted in FY78 for only 8 months. Going to page two, we begin to see the first of the transfers. There was currently existing within REA a Director of Administrative Services, and all of the items totaling 198.4, as you see down the left-hand column. In some cases, we are requesting upgrades from the current levels of the positions that exist, an increase in labor pool funds. You're seeing an increase in travel funds, which is basically getting toward the getting these people out to assist the units in setting up their particular financial operations.
When you're upgrading to from what position, in this one you're upgrading to a 14, I would assume that's just a category or?
Yes.
Right. Now from a 13 to a 14?
I believe that one is.
13A or B or C or what?
I believe that one is from a grade 12.
Why is there two jumps then? Two steps. Why take two steps? Don't you keep some kind of an even step up for increased pay?
Yes, I believe the typical type of position here is generally a 14 throughout the system, so it was an attempt to bring equity to it.
the functions of each of these positions might be changing slightly as we move into the new administrative structure.
Well, what's the now this is this the director of administrative services?
Yes.
And the
first one.
Okay. Then the administrative assistant.
And the administrative assistant, that's the one that was showing the request for upgrade.
Moving up to 14?
Yes.
And you include how much of an in-grade raise is that from the 12 to 14?
The 5,000 also includes staff benefits, so you're probably talking in the neighborhood of about $3,800 or so.
Increase in salary per year?
Yes.
Pretty healthy raise, huh?
All right.
Well, I just wanted to know, I see another one down here, and I probably would ask the same thing about this upgrade to a 13 and upgrade to a 12, because when one guy gets a $4,000 a year raise, I suspect that they all got about the same thing.
You get to be Lieutenant Governor, I want you to remember that.
Sure as hell.
This was an attempt to bring these positions level to what they are throughout the system. You might not like the salaries we pay, and you might ought to address that as a broader issue.
No, I think this is where I should ask how many grades you jump. You're a piker. But Rice takes his from 18 to 37,000 a year.
Okay, Mr. Green.
Okay.
Now, it might be in all these documents, but save some time for me anyway. There's apparently about $688,000 difference between the 77.4 figure and the 70.
Clark, could you tell me where you are?
I'm not anywhere. I just figured that out. It's on the Anchorage campus, Anchorage ACC. The 600, do you know what that difference is?
We haven't gotten down to ACC yet. If you want to shift down there, I'll be happy to go down. There are 15 VRUs.
So you're going through each one?
We're just on the first one. Continue with the ones that we're on, Mr. Chairman?
I think we're getting a little squirrely, but I think it's understandable. Yeah, go ahead.
You should flip over to the third sheet. Again, showing an upgrade on bringing the registrar's position up to 12 months. There was a registration clerk currently existing within REA. We brought that over. Brought on a labor pool. This would basically be overtime funds, short-term employment. Again, an increase in travel so that the registrar might get out to the units to assist them in setting up and other services.
I remind you, Mr. Chairman, that all these increases are running in travel, are running in the 33% class. And that's an awful lot of increase in travel. And it's all through their whole budget.
That would in this particular VRU.
This is about 35% increase.
Again, the intent is to have people out assisting and servicing the units, and that's why we increase. We are in the area of administration and business requesting a new position, director of personnel for the 12 units that make up this division. And beginning on the next page, all of the additional items with the new position requests and the costs that would go with those. They do not currently exist within the REA budget.
Scott. I recall in fiscal 78 budget, or maybe fiscal 77 at least, there was an agreement at UAA. I thought there was funding for a registration clerk within the UAA accounting office for this purpose. Is that position still there, or have you moved it out of UAA?
In 77 you're going back, right, Dave?
I'm not sure, maybe through this year.
What I've picked up through the system since I've been in this position is the fact that REA had within their money, within their budget, a registration clerk, which was provided to UAA, and I believe no transfer was ever made. The person just worked over there to facilitate service.
Is this in addition to that position?
Yes.
So you have two.
Right. If you'll notice on item number three, there is a registration clerk listed under the registrar as a transfer from REA.
Oh.
And so this is a new position at that.
UAA also?
No.
Okay.
I would make specific mention, I guess, of item number eight, a space rental item. It is the intention of the university to move the community college chancellor's office and the support services that go with that to Anchorage. And it would be our intent to try to combine with existing services down there, REA being the number one off campus.
This would be the same building?
That's up in the air. We're currently investigating the lease that they have to see if, are we locked in there for a period of time longer than the end of this fiscal year? And is there additional expansion space in there? The location has not been decided yet, though.
Can you go back? Oh, excuse me.
Are you talking about the one on Lagodis?
Lagodis and Northern Lights, I guess it's on the corner there.
Can you go back to item six?
Sure.
Discuss that one.
Sure.
Go ahead.
What do you want on that
one? What's the need?
Generally, some thoughts, particularly when we get into the smaller community college units, perhaps excluding Anchorage, I think there would be a couple of functions here that this person could provide. By trying to bring about some group ordering for things that all of the units could utilize throughout the system, if we could funnel this through a central source, get better bulk rates, would be our intention to try to do that. At the same time, most of the small units would need assistance in bidding and price quoting on major equipment items and a variety of things like that that they are not particularly familiar with. So this would be a resource to provide that as well. But it would be an attempt to bring in some bulk ordering into the system and to provide some inventory control and at least technical assistance in setting those up for the campus.
Couldn't the same bulk ordering savings be done through UAA or Fairbanks?
I'm sorry, Dave.
Couldn't you have the same savings by bulk ordering through the UAA purchasing office or the Fairbanks purchasing office, saving the cost of this position?
The problem that we've encountered thus far, even in terms of where this division has gone in the past few months, is that most of the existing administrative service units are starting to curtail services to the community colleges on the basis that they are not staffed to be able to handle them, and we're now in a new division. Our other experience has been that generally you receive second priority. If their primary function is for UAA, they will treat us as they are able. It's not necessarily on any basis of equity.
Mr. Smart,
we're talking about a central office in Anchorage Community College now for a central purchasing agency or an agent for how many colleges?
10 colleges and 12 extension centers.
12, and that's all in the Anchorage area?
No, this would be statewide. This office would be located in Anchorage because 8 of the 10 colleges are most accessible from Anchorage. And about seven or eight of the extension centers are most accessible from Anchorage.
How many? How many in Anchorage?
Not in Anchorage.
Well, close to Anchorage then.
Eight of the 10 colleges are most accessible out of Anchorage.
Eight of the 10?
And seven or eight of the extension centers are most accessible out of Anchorage. So it seems a more logical place for it.
Well, it certainly didn't work before in the REAAs or the state operated school system when it was centered in Anchorage. If that wasn't the horriblest mess you ever saw in your life as a central purchasing agency, and before you're through with it, you'll have a bigger bureaucracy than you'd ever save in supplies.
I don't think the intent is to get to a central purchasing agency per se. Well, I think it is on certain items, such as stationery and a variety of things that all units would be using, to try to bring those to someone to coordinate those and bring those together for bulk ordering. And also the provisions that we function under in terms of capital purchases to provide that technical assistance, to assist each of the colleges in setting up their own inventory control systems, which are particularly weak outside of your major centers.
I mean, Mr. Chairman, the research division is going to get its own business office, and the community colleges are going to get its own business office. It seems to me we're going the opposite direction of bulk purchasing from the system. It's going to cost more rather than less.
I would imagine that would depend on what you're buying. I would imagine research institutes are just not buying the same stuff as community colleges. I would imagine it would be a whole different kind of purchase, in which case, though I don't know, except for pencil.
It's not.
Well, I'd like to take a look. If may I ask Mr. Chairman if we might just have some backup on it. I'd kind of like to see what they're going to purchase and maybe some backup other than just I want a position to do something. I'd like to see some backup on what type of material that they would coordinate and buy.
All right, could we get then a statement from Chancellor Lewis addressing Mr. Swanson's inquiries?
Again, I want to reflect two items. The 12 extension centers are very small operations. Direct services would be provided by this division for those units. Technical assistance to the community colleges wherever possible. That's the thrust of it.
Steve?
Yeah.
Just a question about these extension centers, like the one at Petersburg. Now, are you talking just about paper supplies and things like that, or what?
I don't have one at Petersburg, so I'm not sure which one.
Extension center?
Cooperative extension.
Well, the only thing I was going to say, it seems to me those little items they can incorporate with the school district. We're talking about just supplies now or major.
You're talking for the extension center operations. I'm excluding Petersburg because I don't really know what that function is down there. You're talking in terms of textbook purchasing, the whole bookstore operation for those 12 centers. You're talking about all of the supplies they will need, equipment.
Mr. Scott, can we ask Dr. Work to address a policy question, Mr. Chairman? And that's recently passed, or I guess just the last board meeting.
Pat's okay with me, by the way. I'm much more comfortable with Pat than I am with that other one.
Oh, what's on one? The Regents recently passed an item where it require each individual community college to get its own accreditation, rather than under the university umbrella. It seems to me that might have significant impact somewhere down the line in terms of whether a community college will in fact be accredited.
Yes. Speak to that. I proposed that item to the Regents for their consideration and spoke in favor of it. On this basis, I think we're past the time where we can try to fall in under one umbrella. The Northwest Association Commission on Colleges, which accredits anyhow, is no longer interested in accrediting under a single umbrella. The fact of the matter is that 6 of the 10 community colleges can probably receive accreditation now. Probably. They would have to go through the whole self-study process. 2 of the 10 would have some difficulty. That would be Mat-Su and Kodiak. Another 2, Northwest and Sitka, probably could not be accredited at the present time. They would all, however, receive at least candidate status, which would make them eligible the same way as any accredited institution is for a period of time. They would have, depending on how the commission ruled, anywhere from 3 to 5 years to bring themselves up from a candidate to an accreditable institution. I it's my position that if we are unable to do that in that period of time, that we really ought to bite the bullet and face the fact that maybe we don't have a viable community college program in a particular area and reorganize it under another unit.
The other side of that, Pat, is that the region's decision then at this point to request funding to bring all these community colleges so that they will make accreditation at that time span?
Well, you can you can probably presume that we're going to be coming back in with requests to have a line that are going to say accreditation on them.
That's what I was getting to, yeah.
Guys seem very concerned with accreditation.
These are requests that you wouldn't have had to ask for if you left them under the umbrella.
No. The fact of the matter is that the umbrella policy was not working. Once this division was created, two things occurred. The commission doesn't want to see the umbrella policy. They're indicating to us they will not accredit under that format. The second thing, once the institutions that are currently accredited were accredited under the old geographic structure, so in South Central, Kodiak and Kuskokwim, those places were accredited as part of University of Alaska South Central. They were up for a revisit anyhow in 79. In 79, then, they're going to have to address themselves in terms of the new structure and be able to stand on their own. So it just pushed it along for the other units as well.
Weren't the regions told in June when they were discussing the creation of the community college division that it would have no impact on accreditation?
I don't know specifically. I don't believe I was at that particular meeting. It's quite possible that they would.
They were.
That they were told that, and my statement to them was no institution would immediately become unaccredited as a result of this. My statement was basically as I indicated to you, 6-2-2, with my current reading of it.
Okay, for the time being now, is there anything else that people would like to ask on the community colleges?
Those are only two of the 15 BRUs. I don't know if you want to go through each one or how you want to proceed.
We've hit Anchorage. And,
no.
You didn't do that before I got
here? We haven't done any of the colleges per se. We just did contract and community college administration.
Oh, okay.
You actually begin with Ketchikan.
Anchorage Community College.
Pat, you are in charge of the adult basic education program in
the Each, indirectly, Thelma, each community college would be pretty much operating it directly, usually under contract with the state.
I would want to know a lot about them, so.
The budget you submitted to the governor in December, and the budget you're now presenting to us now, there is a reduction in the latest budget of about $362,000 in your estimate of student fees at ACC, which I assume is made up by general funds. Can you explain the difference, that $362,000 drop in your income?
If you want to unpack, go ahead.
I believe that the document that you received in December was an error. You did not. That was not a tracing from past pre-conference committee. It starts with a revised base on your fees of someplace around 1.3. As I traced through the FCC version, the revised base was 987 or something like that. I believe that's where the error lies. So I don't think it's so much of a reduction in it as a correction to the earlier item that you had. There is one item in Anchorage that I think will make for a major difference. Because we were building the supplemental into the base. There's been a recent change on ACC military programs, I understand. You'll find in this budget document a $180,000 request in general fund showing as part of the supplemental. If my information is correct, that will pass out at $62,000 in general fund and $120,000 in fee increases. And so that change, I would agree, should be made.
I don't have any comment on supplemental, but are you suggesting that you can revise your 79 base upwards at student fees by $120,000?
Based on that, on the I'm tying it to the supplemental, yes.
It shouldn't be tied to the supplemental, because it's a question of whether you can you increase your fee income by $129,000?
Based on the information that we received to clarify the military programs, what you currently have in there is $180,000 in general fund, should really be 120 student fees. That would be over and above where it currently is, and $62,000 in general fund.
That student fee income estimate this year will continue into next year. That's where you want to ask.
Yes, and then it would be carried across.
The other question I had, Mr. Chairman, is in the REA budget. You have an item under our rural education centers for academic support.
Dave, can you tell me what you're referring to?
Yes, instruction central support under REA. And you also have a section for academic support under REA. Can you distinguish between those two services? Because it seems to me they overlap.
It's getting difficult.
That's what I thought.
The naming of the components under REA, I think, are misnamed. We carry forward this year, because of the time we came into it, the same ones that they had last year, merely for purposes of identification. If you would refer me to which specific document you're questioning, Dave, I'll try to answer the question directly.
Under REA,
this is in the
rural education.
Four, fives, and sixes?
Yes, rural education, instruction, central support, which is the first tab under.
Well, where are you now, Bob?
UA rural ed.
Huh?
UA slash rural ed.
The third to the last tab.
The very first form four is instruction. That's instruction central support. Several pages down, you also have a category of academic support. And it seems to me that they're performing the same function, or at least a very major overlapping function. I question the need for all the staff that you have divided between those two functions. I know that was created in 77 under the REA umbrella.
Under instruction, are a couple of positions, I believe, geared specifically to curriculum development, one in business and one in another particular area.
Yes.
And some functions like that. Under the academic support, you have the dean of REA's office.
That's the academic dean?
The terminology, it's the dean. I don't think it's academic versus executive. This would be the individual directly in charge of the 12 centers, grouping those together similar to your campus president at the community college, except his operation would be spread out over 12 centers.
In the rest of the budgets, normally that function under academic support would be one of academic instruction, leadership, and curriculum development. However, in this budget, you have curriculum development, I think, duplicated also under instruction.
I'm not sure they're duplicated. I believe they could be combined into a single budget.
And staffing reduced?
No, not necessarily.
Thank you. I was just trying to discern the differences in the two functions.
I don't think there's a legitimate difference in the two functions. The positions are different, but I believe they should be combined into a single component. We did not do that this time because the latest, by the time we got into it, and wanted to carry forward what you had last year.
I agree that you can combine these two. I'm just questioning whether the combination could result in fewer positions.
If you would like, I'll send you down a statement on what specific positions are in both of those and what they do. And we'll take a look at that.
Yeah, what do you think about formula funding for all of community colleges?
It has good potential. We've been, starting last July, three of the campus presidents, including myself, have been working some while with Kerry Bromsberg of the Post-Secondary Commission looking at that. We took a look the other day at a draft formula that I think still needs a lot of work. I guess I feel we're maybe 2 or 3 years away from it, Steve. I think it's the desirable direction to go, but I think we've got to take a look at, we're just starting to sort out where all the costs are hidden. Some are hidden in statewide administration under insurance and things like that. Others at the various units, and we have to break out a couple of the campus units yet and totally show all of their costs.
Okay, good. I'm glad you're
But I think generally there's, we're all favorable toward it if we can find a good formula.
Good. Okay.
Let me highlight Kuskokwim for you, you know?
Well, I think it should.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I know we're getting down there pretty close, but on one of these under six, and I can't give you a page number, but tell me what BUMS are. B-U-M-S.
Bargaining unit members. Those are the full-time faculty.
It's kind of worn proudly.
This time of day, I'm not sure what that is.
Yeah.
Did you want to go through each community college VRU or not?
Yeah.
How much longer are we going to stay? How much longer the rest of you going to stay?
All right, what I'd like to do, plainly, we've got to go into tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
We've got the permanent fund tomorrow morning, so we can't take anything up then. But I think we've got a people are too quick to go into each one of these things tonight. What I'd like to do is pose a question to the committee. I think this committee's got a question that we've got to decide. We've got a couple alternatives here. Here's all this stuff. Seems to me that we're going to either have to adopt a lump sum here with the understanding that we'll have further hearings as soon as we're able to get short forms put together to give marching orders to the free conference committee. Or we're going to have to hold this budget until the short forms are put together, so we've got some kind of comprehensible thing to work with. Now, according to Dave, might be April the 3rd or so before he's able to piece together any kind of a short form. I just want to know what the members of the committee think.
Mr. Chairman, I'll tell you what I think. I don't know what the hell I think. Whatever you want to do is good enough for me. Now, do you have a suggestion?
Well, I'd like to see how people feel about it because, I don't think we can continue to throw money, but if we're going to send the thing on to the Senate and then address the budget later on so that the free conference will have some marching orders, and I think people's special requests as to the various additions that you make to the different budget units that we always do, that I believe we ought to have them collected before we send the bill over to the Senate. I think we ought to send that list over there with it. With the bill,
whatever you do is okay with me. But I hope when you do it, Mr. Chairman, that we come out with something that's just one book. If we even had to take this one and write into the bottom of it all the changes that goes here, and just use this book as a base, and we've got a lot of pages in there where we got lots of room to take the notes. I got a sneaking hunch that if we use this, and then this other stuff for backup, and put it in a book, we'd know what we're doing. I think it would be a lot easier for me.
That's what we're doing. That's what we're talking about doing. I think Dave is going to gather together all these things and put them in the short form. Sometimes the short form just doesn't fit some of these things, but we can break them out and
use that one book.
Correlate it to the backup material that we have, Dave.
I have committed, Mr. Chairman, to the Senate Finance Committee that we have a revised short form for them to have hearings on April 3rd. So I will get it done before then.
Okay. I feel like if we write something now, that it's going to take the better part of 3 weeks anyhow to put anything together.
We'd have to write it into this book, so we had we'd have it all in one place anyway, because you could never in God's world do it with all of this we've got here. So if we had to do it that way, just write it in there, we'd be better off.
Then we know what the situation might be a little different if the committee didn't have anything but the budget to consider this year. But we do have some odds and ends, like the permanent fund and the gas line financing and the connection.
Yeah. I don't know if it has ever been done, but Mr. Chairman, if we report out all the budget categories except this one and then have a supplemental budget with the Senate, what has it ever been done of that? We'll just report out all the other categories and then the university budget will carry on its own and be sent out as a supplemental to the budget.
Well, my observation would be this. Yeah, that's a possible alternative, but as soon as that hits the newspapers, you'll have just about 400,000 people you'll have to explain it to, and it'll go to the Fairbanks paper and the Anchorage paper, university defunded, legislature wipes out the University of Alaska, and you'll spend the next 3 months writing letters to people saying it ain't so. That's just my observation.
I think we've made a hell of a lot of progress since last year because we never got anything from the university to look at. Other than just some blind thing. And I think we're probably real close to doing this proper. I think you're confused for the day, I'm not sure.
Seems like it's dissipating rapidly.
Well, I'll be there. I'll be with you in time to get my literacy girls back in there.
Well, we didn't even get into any of those comments. We really don't get yet.
I'm going to find enough slack in your
okay.
budget to take care of
it. In regards to this, Steve, do you have any sort of a schedule when you want the whole budget to get the House passed?
Well, I keep asking people when they get through with their categories to let me know. Tell me what's the implication of that.
Well, we have a meeting on it.
Well, the natural resources budget is ready, and I think we can do that on Friday, King of the Red.
Yep, 8 o'clock.
And next week, I'd like to reserve for
Friday.
To close out these segments of the budget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. My budget's been ready for 10 days.
I don't know who else is ready. Oral's finished, Red's finished, everybody else is gone.
Pick one of them.
Well, just like I said.
I think general government and health and social services will probably be ready by the first of the week.
You're going to do mine Friday or Monday, did you say?
Friday.
Well, I'd like to do it Friday if I can, Red.
Yeah.
If you got any brothers, I think we can.
No.
Finish it up by the end of
just
the
day. So I can get on the airplane at 5 o'clock on Friday.
It will not hold you up, man.
All right.
Well,
what are you going to do?
Tomorrow afternoon, I'd like to finish a presentation on community colleges and be a right at the UAJ. And I think we'll make any final decisions.
I'll never get all your stuff.
I'm not sure, Mr. Chairman, don't mean to intrude on it, but Monday, I believe the Sterling Gallagher was asked to come back Thursday afternoon.
Tomorrow morning.
No, that's tomorrow afternoon.
He's on tomorrow
morning.
Fine. Morning. Yeah, it's a permanent fund.
The sheet I just handed out to you, by the way, if you have any opportunity to take a look at it. We compare the cost per credit hour of each of the 10 community colleges, taking both a rural factor and a size factor into consideration. Pick up on that tomorrow.
One more thing before we adjourn. Has the university made any study at all to see if the cost differentials that are built into rural education or the community colleges out in rural areas, to see if those things are realistic or not?
No, the university has not made a study of that.
I think the state is the one that really should do it.
Right, the state does have some figures on it, and depending upon who you go to in the state, found that we're, depends on the area a little bit, but Nome, they'll go as high as 67% of state figures, as opposed to the 41% that we have up there.
Yeah.
There are variances.
This is built into the union contract on salaries, which is...
Right, well, that's why I built it in here, to show that.
Is that pegged on the state? No. Did they make a separate...
This was separate.
Okay.
This is not the state, the state area differential.
I think if somebody made a real study of those expenses, they wouldn't be near as high as they were, but it might be a good idea to have, I don't know what you call it, maybe combat pay or something like that, incentive for people to go out to the rural areas and just call it that, but I don't think, I think this...
Call it combat pay?
Cost of living differential is a little out of whack, I think.
Doesn't the new contract require such a study?
Requires what?
A study to be made of the differentials.
To have been reopened by January 1st.
Pardon me?
To have been begun by January 1st.
Has it begun?
No.
That's what I thought. There is a requirement in the new bargaining contract.
There's a standard record. There have been some study in fact in the REA and the public school funding, there's a differential factor built in there. What I've seen is working out on possibly foundation of these colleges, looking at a differential factor.
Okay, we'll adjourn to 8:30.